Get ready for some fun. This is Malcolm and You Know Who with Malcolm Out Loud. Open-minded discussion that's truthful, respectful, and direct. This is real life on the brink of greatness.
So what makes the perfect day? What makes the perfect day for you? I'll tell you what it makes for me, when everything goes right. How do you know in a day when everything goes right? You know, is it maybe winning Time Person of the Year? Maybe that would be a good day. Maybe if somebody said you did a great job. Well, what makes the perfect day? Well, this is Malcolm Out Loud here, and we're going to talk about exactly that. I'm going to come across a very interesting piece in psychology today, and I like building the perfect day. And I like the subhead to this, too. Hack your routine to make every hour count. I guess not many of us think in those terms about hacking our routine, but let's give it a stab here. So it starts off, we start every day hoping it'll be great. How many of you think you start off in the morning and think it's going to be a great day? Maybe the day will be even perfect, huh? But then after snoozing, commuting, sitting in meetings, grabbing junk food, we realize that once again, we haven't exercised, we haven't engaged with family and friends, or knocked much of anything off our to-do list, if you have a to-do list, that is, huh? You stay up late, hoping to be productive, you manage only to watch TV and check Facebook before collapsing, then you start it all over again. Does that sum it up for many? I don't know, but I know the Facebook thing and the TV and collapsing is pretty routine for a lot of people. So, you know, I wrote an interesting piece on the brink of greatness about a fantastic lady, 96-year-old Tao Porson Lynch. And this lady, it teaches yoga. Tao teaches yoga. You know, it goes on the story to say that she marched with Gandhi in the 1930s. She fought in the French Resistance in the 40s, hobnobbed in Hollywood in the 50s, and actually took up competitive ballroom dancing at the age of 87. And she's still going strong, folks, 96 years old, and I think she may even be 97, or we know it's coming. But what a, you know, so here's her secret, okay? Her secret is she gets up every day, no matter what the day is. And you know what she says to herself? This is going to be the best day of my life. Every day, no matter what happens, whatever's on the plate, whatever she's got to deal with, whether it's a, you know, some sort of a challenge, a health issue, whatever it might be, she tells herself, this is going to be the best day of my life. How many people do that? I started trying that for a little period of time myself. It's tough to do, folks. It's real tough to do every day to get up when you know the task in front of you and you know what you're going to accomplish in a given day to say to yourself, this is going to be the best day of my life. But she pulled it off and she's done it for years. The lady looks incredible. She has her five secrets now for staying positive. This appeared in Today Health and Wellness, actually. The first, start the day right. Well, we all can do that, right? Second, age is just a number. I believe that's true. I believe age is just a number, you know. Dance like nobody's watching. I like that. Dance like nobody's watching. Isn't that what it's all about, really? We all sort of get intimidated or embarrassed. But I guess if you really don't care, you know, you don't necessarily have to be like a Donald Trump, but you certainly dance like nobody's watching. Accentuate the positive. Accentuate the positive. It's important for all of us to do that, actually. And what I say right after that is gratitude, folks. Got to have gratitude. It's hard to do when things aren't always going your way. And the fifth, her secret is don't procrastinate. Again, these are Tao's five secrets for staying positive. Don't procrastinate. And you know, with Tao and don't procrastinate, I mean, she's so right. So many people I know procrastinate and they put off. I'm kind of the opposite of that myself. I'm very impatient. I don't put off a hell of a lot. I like to do everything like yesterday, today. I don't know, there's something in me that just drives me that way. So I'm sort of not a procrastinator. I'm the opposite. I'm the Looney Tune in the room that wants to get it all done now. And I want to live life today. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be, man. I don't want to put it off. So, and sometimes I find even doing the hard stuff early on is better than not. It's tough to do, too, because people always put the hard stuff off and do the easy stuff. So anyways, so this other article now in Psychology Today, and by the way, all of these pieces I'm talking about, including Tao, if you just go to my Twitter feed, at Malcolm Out Loud, they're all there. In fact, hashtag Malcolm Out Loud, and you'll find all these stories I talk about on the show here with you right there on Twitter. So they're easy to do. I really dig the Psychology Today one, though, because it's a long piece, but it's well worth the read, friends. This story here, Building the Perfect Day. I kind of like that when we talk about Tao and 96 years old and what she talks about and making every day great for her. I think we could all use, I don't know, sort of a perfect day. What's a perfect day, right? You know, I don't know, if I was to just sum up in a quick few seconds what a perfect day for me, well, it would be to get up early in the morning. Not too early, but early enough, between 6 and 7 maybe, let's say by 7. Have coffee with somebody you love and just enjoy the outdoors, get outside a little bit, get some work done. There's something, just have a great lunch. I would like a glass of wine or two with dinner. I would like to have great conversation. I'd like to have great sex. I'd like to walk in the woods with leaves and touch the leaves with my feet. And that's, you know, that's a great day maybe, huh? I don't need Facebook to have a great day. I don't need it at all. I don't even need to look at it before I go to sleep. How's that? But I think it's, for me, it's kind of being in touch with, you know, nature and reality, but getting the work done and knowing the things I want to, and accomplishing something, improving somebody's life. I think that's important to me as well. But again, what makes a perfect day? So this article goes on, and it's actually very, very cool. It goes about, you know, when things go wrong, and we're going to talk a lot about that on the show, actually, when things go wrong, because I think failure is part of success, and I think a lot of people don't really understand that, and or even if they do say it, they don't really understand what it means, but you have to sort of convince yourself of that. It's very, very important to do so. But the article starts at 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning, you wake up, and it goes through step by step of the day. It tells you the best time to do things, like at 6:10 they say have sex in the morning. Yeah, because our level of testosterone in the morning is fantastic. So they say, is anybody having sex at 6:10, by the way, in the morning? I don't know. Breakfast at 7. Obviously, they're not spending a lot of time with the sex, but they go to breakfast at 7. Get outside at 7:45. Send your emails at 8:45. Have coffee at 9:30. So what we'll do is I'm going to go through this list a little bit more with you after. In the meantime, we have a lot to talk about on this show today. Just ahead, you'll meet a woman from Colorado who understands the difference between good news and bad news. Actually, she's one of the best and brightest in Radioland, and you'll know who on the other side of the break. Well, we've been talking about the perfect day, and it looks like it is a perfect day. It's Malcolm Aloud back with you here. And listen, you know who we've been talking about just before the break. Let me introduce you now to nationally syndicated radio host personality Angie Austin. And you can find out more about Angie at AngieAustinRadio.com. Angie, as I said before the break, and you don't know what I said. I actually didn't say your name, but I actually described you. And you are one of the hardest working people in the business.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I definitely started with, you know, nothing in life. So the only way to get out is to work hard. And that's where I got the work ethic.
And you actually, you know, a lot of people say they're like conservative, but they're really not conservative. You actually are conservative. The more I've listened to you, you are that way in your life, aren't you?
I'm conservative, I think, in the way that I live. I'm not very judgmental.
Stop right there. Are you saying conservative people are judgmental?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying some Christians are, and I feel like as a Christian, I feel that I'm led to care, love people, show kindness, and walk out my life as best I can. But I'm not one to jump on explaining to people what the Bible says about their lives, because I think they all know what the Bible says about their lives. So I'm just to do the best I can in my life.
So, you know, I like the idea of not judging other people. I think too many people do. And I think it's a lesson we all have to learn, right? I mean,
it works for me. Now, everybody feels called to a different way that they practice their faith. But my faith, I try to just care about people and to love them and be kind to them and just, you know, show them that I'm trying to do the best I can to follow, you know, my Jesus.
Well, Angie, even beyond faith, I mean, as a person, I think we can all learn not to judge people and to just be ourselves, you know?
I certainly think it's a lot simpler. Even the Bible tells us not to worry about the splinter in our neighbor's eye when we have a log in our own,
in other words,
and I think so many of us point the finger at others.
It doesn't have to be a Christian value, although it can be. It needs to be a people value is what I'm saying.
I agree. You know? We make it too complicated. We make all of religion too complicated. Just care about people.
All right, let me ask you this now. All right, so tell me, because we talked about this in the earlier segment, and I want to get your take on it. What makes the perfect day for Angie?
Oh my goodness, the perfect
exactly.
Day.
That's a tough one. But I already answered this live. You won't know what it is because it was in the earlier segment. But I want to know your perfect day. What's Angie Austin's perfect day? Besides talking to Malcolm on radio, that is.
Oh yeah, that's amazing to do that. That's for sure. All right, so a perfect day would be a family adventure, and we would go someplace fun together, and we'd do like an outdoor fun family activity. And I like when it's holiday time, like Christmas, for instance. We have extended families. We might have from my 6-year-old up to my mom and her 7. And we might be, we'll go like play dodgeball, and we go to the, like a place where we can all do these things together. It's a YMCA.
So I've been asking people to really think about a perfect day. You know, somebody I brought up who you know this lady because you and I've talked about her before on radio, and 96-year-old Tao.
Love her. She wakes up every day and says, today is going to be the best day of my life.
That's it. Today is going to be the best day of my life. And now, you've tried that as well as I tried that. But but be honest with me now. First of all, it's a hard thing to do. I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds, okay? Although it could be, but it's not. But you haven't been doing that every day since we talked.
Thought to myself, boy, what a good reminder, because I often do wake up too and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But I have to be honest with you. I have a couple of very negative people in my inner circle. And so I've made a vow just in the last month or so that I won't let them bring me down. And so when they start to infiltrate like my family or my kids, or I'll be like, you know what? I'm not playing that game. I'm staying happy and positive. I'm not going there, because they have a tendency to get me riled up.
Well,
so I have just made a pact with myself. I'm staying the positive mental attitude.
Well, Angie,
I am there, my friend.
One of the things is, that people have to realize is if you hang with negative people, you begin to emulate those negative people. You don't even know it. I mean,
they like suck your blood out.
They suck your energy is what they do. They pull your energy down.
They're dream killers, naysayers.
They are. And I can't do it, Angie. I don't like to. No, you're so right. You described it so well. But I don't like to hang with those people. I can't do it. So anyways, I love Tao and what she does to take it on at 96. I think she's probably even coming. She may even be 97 by now. I don't know. But the lady's absolutely incredible. I wrote about her on the brink of greatness. I was telling folks. And definitely somebody worth checking out and seeing.
I agree. I've watched that video so many times because she so inspires me. And when you talk about her doing yoga at her age, we're not talking like she kind of bends over and touches her toes.
No.
I mean, the yoga, it's mind blowing what she could do at her age.
I want to talk to her. I've got to track her down. I'd love to interview her, man.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just, she doesn't even know how much she's already impacted my life. You understand?
Yeah, I agree.
Isn't that cool? I mean, when you find people like that, and that's really what it's all about. Listen, I want to talk about technology and the holidays, because technology, I think technology, in a sense, we've all gotten out of hand with it a little bit. I mean, and it's really a balance with the kids and just everybody. You see everybody on their phones and their iPads and everything else. And then when you come into the holidays, it's a little different subject matter, because you're trying to spend more time with family, friends, reconnect. So how do you deal with technology in the holidays? Let's tell folks, you have what, three children?
I've got three kids, and each one, two are getting tablets to do homework on.
You mean for Christmas this year?
Yeah, like super cheap tablets. Like Amazon had them on, $35 for a tablet. Seriously,
$35.
Yeah. They're $50. They have a $50 tablet now.
What kind of tablet is that? What is it called?
It's just their Amazon Fire or something. They had a special. It's a new one that
they
revamped.
Do they work? Are they good?
Well, all of my kids need are a couple of apps for math and reading. So that's all I'm putting on their particular tablets.
When you described Angry Birds in the way of the kids, I love to play Angry Birds. By the way,
really?
Do you not play?
I've never played once in my life, because I don't need to get waste my time with that stuff.
Yeah, but it's listen, you're talking about come on. I mean, I'm a non-waster of time myself, but come on. But you're even more practical than I am. Get out of here.
I think I read news when I want to kill time.
Well, but not kill time, but sometimes it's just good to disconnect and deviate a little bit, no?
Yeah, well, my husband started to play poker on his phone, but he gets irritated then when we call him to dinner. So I don't like it.
Yeah, well, try Angry Birds is good, because you can take these little birds and these little bombs and you set them off and it blows everything up.
Don't try to take me down your naughty path.
No, try it. I'll send you the app. There's a good one I like right now. There's a good one. I don't do many games, kiddo. But I do like the new Angry Birds one. It's kind of cool.
I know.
It's good. All right. So for the holidays, again, back to technology, it is about you've got to be disciplined, obviously, and know. For me, I just have to shut it off and disconnect, Angie, because I'm on it so much like you. I'm on it like you all the time,
And I've interviewed someone who said, in order to create magical moments with your family, with your children, you need to disconnect to connect. And that means you have to put your phone down. You're not. I don't want to be one of these families where everyone's sitting around the dinner table or going out to dinner and they're all looking in their phones.
I
told you my girlfriend's a therapist, and she was at an extended family gathering. They all met in Vegas. They were going out for a fancy dinner. She was paying, and her niece and nephew would not take their faces out of their phones. Then they went bowling, and they still had their faces in their phones, and they're like 12 and 14. And so she said to the boy, because he couldn't get Wi-Fi in the bowling alley, and she said, are you getting Wi-Fi in here? Like, what are you doing? He goes, no, I'm just playing with my settings. He's so obsessed with the phone that even though he can't use the apps and everything else on there, he was playing with his settings because he couldn't put the phone down.
Yeah.
And he's not going to remember that 10 years when he had this time with his cousins.
A lot of these kids and people become introverts as well, and they don't even, because they become so in one with technology. But today, that's where it's going. I mean, you see it everywhere. And the kids, I've read studies now where I believe the average time they're spending on the phone is 12 hours a day, Angie.
Wow.
Yeah, which is...
Phone and other gadgets.
Gadgets, technology.
Yes,
Saying phones. Most of it's
that
phones.
That is mind-blowing because they're
whatever.
Not talking to their parents.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Angie, I want to ask you a personal question. Do you still believe in Santa Claus?
But my family does, yes.
Does Angie Austin believe?
I believe in the magic of Santa.
Okay. So I wonder how many kids, what age do they not believe in Santa Claus anymore?
By the way,
my two are 12 and 13, so I'm still trying to determine if they seem to are still going along with the gag.
Well, I think that your daughter might be pulling your leg at 13, but my 6, 8, and 10-year-olds definitely believe.
They believe still, 6, 8, and 10.
And they have the elf on the shelf. They believe in all the Christmas magic.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So there it is. All right. So have you ever on Christmas Day or like the day after, have you ever gone to the movies, taken the kids to the movie, the families to the movie?
No, we don't do that. Yeah. And we should. I don't know. It's not our thing.
Yeah, but maybe something different to deviate from. Maybe something.
I like to kind of curl up at home and do our own movies because you can access so many movies now at home.
I know. You're right. And I've sort of become that way, too, because of society, because of what's going on out there. And I think a lot of us are kind of that way now.
Am I a skin flint, too? Like, it's like $100 when you get, like, the popcorn.
And when you're bringing a family of five, you are. And you go to the movies in family of five. No, it's $100.
And grand-grand. So with six of us, I always have to pay for grand-grand.
I see. So you've got six. So you are $100 by the time you
and she eats a lot of popcorn.
And the admittance is, what, like $10, $12 a piece now or something like that? And even the cheaper one is, like, nine or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, so what I try to do is I take the kids, Angie. I put one kid like on the top of the other kid on the shoulders, and they wear a long top coat.
Oh, like a muumuu.
And then you get in cheaper. Then it's only get two for one that way. So it's a hell of a lot cheaper. I'm telling you, it is. It
Remember
works.
The old days when they used to have drive-in movies and you'd like shove somebody back behind the seat, you know, because you're in high school and you couldn't afford. They don't even have drive-in movies anymore. I think we have one in like my metro area.
Well, listen, I'm going to take a quick pause with you right here. And as soon as we come back after the break here, I've got something real funny to share with you. I'll be right back with Angie Austin. Okay, we're back with you here. It's Malcolm Aladdin. We're back with Angie Austin. And you want to find out more about Angie, go to AngieAustinRadio.com. Angie, again, she's a radio host. So she does the Good News Show, Daybreak USA. She has some fascinating projects she works with. And one of the cool things, Angie, I always like about you is that you focus more on the good things that are gone in life, the positive, the happy stuff. You're not so much into the doom and gloom, yeah?
I think that people get overwhelmed by it. I did TV news for 20 years, and I felt like I made people cry while they eat their Cheerios, you know, and then I was sharing all these horrible stories.
I knew there
was
a bad side about you.
Yes.
I got that on tape now. You made people cry while eating their Cheerios.
Yes, and that's what I think the morning news does on many occasions. So I still inform people on my show. We don't want to bury our heads in the sand, but you need to balance it out with some of the good things happening in the world, not just all the – remember the news directors that always would say if it bleeds – it leads. They want like all the gory, horrible stories in the news. And then the first story you'd kill would be the kicker, the fun story, the happy, the good news story. That's the first one they'd kill from the newscast. It's like, well, we should be leading with the good news story.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Listen, talking about good news story, I want to talk to you about a story first of all. There's something on Twitter I got to share in a moment, but I'm going to pause on that a moment. I want to talk to you first, and this is a good time of year for this story. It's on my Brink of Greatness site, Angie. And it's about the Hug Lady. You know about the Hug Lady?
I love the Hug Lady.
All right. So her real name is Elizabeth Laird. Okay, and you got to hear the story on this, folks, okay? And again, the real story on this is On the Brink of Greatness, or just go to my Twitter feed, at Malcolm Out Loud. It's on the Twitter feed, or hashtag Malcolm Out Loud. It's right there. This is a unbelievable story, if you ask me. This lady, for the last 12 years, okay, has invested her time. Now, she's not paid for this, keep in mind.
Nope, not paid a dime.
But she goes to the airport, and she has been welcoming our troops back, okay? And they say she has hugged over 500,000 American soldiers, men and women.
Unbelievable.
Can you believe that?
And they expect her. They expect her to be there, like it's part of their homecoming.
They expect her. In fact, if you read the article I did on it, kids, I talk about her. She should be up for the Nobel Peace Prize of Human Kindness. You know?
She's so great.
I mean, the lady is great. So here's the thing now. Just recently, in the past month, Angie, she was in the hospital.
I know.
Yeah, she was in the hospital. She's been fighting cancer herself and really, you know, she's been struggling with it. So she was in the hospital and going through, you know, a lot of things herself. And she felt really bad because she wasn't at the airport greeting all the soldiers coming back. And it was challenging for her. But guess what? All the soldiers went to her.
They flocked to her.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
They went into the hospital to see her. She's out of, we're talking about Fort Hood, Texas, by the way, is where she's at. That's where she's doing her work. And so at this point, her son is involved, and they put up like a GoFundMe page to try to raise money to help her. She's been struggling with breast cancer since 2005, Angie.
Wow.
And so all this has been going on while this lady's had her own problems. I mean, come on.
They line up. I just love that they create a line, and they're like all returning, and they, you know, I mean, they're excited to be home, and they line up and wait to hug her.
You see a lot of the pictures where she's hugging these big guys, and they're like 2 feet taller than her or something, you know, and
stuff
like that, and it's really, really cool. You know, there's something – there's so many reasons why I like this story, Angie, and one of the reasons is because our service members, our troops – our men and women in uniform, to me, there's no bigger sacrifice that one can make than to serve in the armed forces in this country, you know? And I think the fact that she took notice to that and realized that commitment and made it, took her precious time when this lady had her own struggles. She was struggling with breast cancer. She was struggling with other problems. And she still, and I'm sure there were days, Angie, she didn't feel like it, and she still went to the airport to greet the soldiers coming in. Listen, Angie, you know, there's a movie coming out on Christmas Day that is with Will Smith called Concussion, okay? And there was a lot of controversy up front about Will Smith playing this character. Alec Baldwin's in this as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like he plays a hell of a part. He's a good actor. But Will takes on the role of Dr. Bennett Omalu, who is really has a competition with the NFL and reveals all this information about concussions. They've been studying NFL players when they died through autopsies and other things, and discovered some real problems with these. You know about this story?
Yeah, I am. Interestingly enough, I came across the article about the doctor prior to knowing it was linked with the movie, because I have decided not to let my son play football because I do know about these head injuries and people who've gone on to suffer greatly because of the sport. And the doctor who discovered the link between CTE brain disease and the NFL, who's featured in the movie, says parents shouldn't let their kids play football. He thinks it should be illegal for parents and coaches and anyone else other than the child to decide whether or not they play. And he says they should wait to make that decision until they're 18. Because he said parents who make the decision to put their kids in football are potentially ruining the child's brain for later, and the kid doesn't have a say in it.
Well, I actually read
a story. Make the decision.
I actually read a story the other day where he said they need to wait till they're like 21 or 22 or something, even higher than that.
Wow.
I mean,
really. He thinks they should decide.
They should decide.
It says the human brain becomes fully developed about 18 to 25 years old. We should wait at least for our children to grow up.
And you know, Angie, there are some people who never develop a human brain. When you say 18 to 25, there are some people who never fully develop their brain, or they become short of it. Listen,
that's why God created marriage. The two brains can come together and make one.
And make one. Isn't that sweet?
Isn't it?
Sometimes it's two dummies that can make one. Hey, listen, also with this this whole thing with this concussion movie, the NFL somehow, I think they took a softer approach, but it was a real feud. I remember reading about a few months ago while the movie was in the making still and happening, you know. But this is kind of a real ding against the NFL. Do you think it will have any Repercussions here overall with the NFL?
Here's what I think. I'm not a big fan of the NFL. Let's just be honest. It's a business, and they make billions.
You don't like
off
football,
this.
You mean? You don't like
and
football?
And so not a huge fan.
I think
in the movie, they basically say the premise is that they got tried to get the doctor to shut up.
Right.
Because
they
it was going
did.
To affect their money-making business. And
right.
so my feeling was they're like, look, if we have to sacrifice a few brains, a few players, and their lives are basically going to be ruined, we make billions off of this. And we pay them millions to do this. And they know the risk. And so, hey, we're a money-making business. Let's just keep this hush-hush about the whole brain, you know, CTE brain injury.
Anyways, the movie looks good. I'm interested to see Concussion. We'll talk more about it ahead and see what happens with it. Angie, I want to end on a very interesting note.
Sure.
And there's some tweets out there in Twitter land, the ladies of Twitter, they call it. And some of the more interesting tweets, one of them come from this one. I got to say, if I had a dollar for every time I had 77 cents, I'd be a white man.
Oh.
And I thought, who said that? It's kind of funny, but it's true. It actually is a black lady who said it, Alexis Wilkinson.
That is kind of funny.
It's great. But I mean, what do you think about that real fast? The 70, I mean, it's not fair, is it?
You mean about women making less than men?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that that was my whole TV career. All the men I worked with in the weather department, some of the weathermen I worked with in NBC in Los Angeles made $1 million or over. And I think I made on the equivalent of if I worked full time, 80 grand, which, you know, 10 years ago, you might think, oh, that's not bad.
Not
yeah,
fair.
80 grand when I think my lowest paid colleague was making 500 grand in the weather department.
Right.
And they were all men. I was the only female. And then when I was a news anchor, I believe the guy I sat next to made about three times what I made.
Right. Yeah, something's not right about the whole thing, I got to tell you.
I think I'm a wimpy negotiator, too.
Well, I just think it just seems to be a lot of people are in that boat, I guess. But some of the other tweets real quickly from Tracy Clayton. I bet Mary had a hell of a time getting a kid who could walk on water into the bathtub. Isn't that great? Angie Austin, AngieAustinRadio.com, The Good News Show and Daybreak USA. Angie, thank you so much for being with me this
thank
afternoon.
Thank you, friend. Okay. You're the best.
It's always good to be with you, love. You are the best as well. We'll be back right after the break here, and I'm going to talk about some life lessons in all of this, and I'm going to pick up on that earliest story we talked about, folks, and how to have that perfect day. I got some ideas for you. Be right back with you. So I will suggest to you that the perfect day probably is nothing more than a myth. Actually, it's a mindset. Hey, welcome back. It's Malcolm All Out here. But we're talking about a mindset, and what I mean by that, it's really what we make it. It's really where our mind is, and that so controls everything. If we decide if we're going to have a good day or not, and what is the perfect day, right? So as we've been talking about that through the show, I want to touch a minute on the perfect life. Does that even exist, the perfect life? I want to bring you back to another story that I have. And this one is on Life Hacker. They always have interesting things on Life Hacker. The best students are often the ones who make the most mistakes. The headline kind of talked to me a bit. Well, the article goes on to say, few of us enjoy making mistakes, but mistakes are inevitable when you're trying something new or challenging, and failure is how we get better. Now, my friends, a lot of people have a problem with that. But there's no way nobody has a straight shot forward to success without failure. If you know somebody who shot straight to the top success and always kept that position, let me know who that person is, male, female, or whoever it is, and I'd love to interview them. I don't think they exist. Because the only way we live is we learn. And to live and learn, I mean, that's the way it is. And we're going to fail. We're going to fail. It's not so much the failure, it's what we do. As that failure happens, do we pick ourselves up? Do we dust ourselves off? Do we move forward quickly? That really is the question, you know? Well, this particular story I just told you about, which again is on my Twitter feed, the best students are often the ones who make the most mistakes, goes on to say this author, by the end of the summer, the stronger students were those who had made more mistakes. They tried more things, compiled more bad code, and hit more runtime errors. When students experimented in logical ways, they developed confidence in solving problems with code. And it wraps up, experimentation and seeing how things can go wrong are critical to knowing how they can go right, as long as we learn from our mistakes, of course. And isn't that what it's all about, my friends, learning from those mistakes? I want to bring you to a story I wrote on the brink of greatness. If you know basketball, if you're even partially a basketball fan of any kind, you probably remember the name Vin Baker. This guy was one of the biggest successes in basketball, in fact. He was one of the all-time great collegiate basketball players. 13 years in the NBA. He played in 4 NBA All-Star games, okay? This guy won an Olympic gold medal in 2000. How many people have done that, do you know? So that would be probably a success. But I got to tell you, the story on Vin Baker is very interesting. He's working as a barista at a local Starbucks in North Kingstown, Rhode Island right now. How does it happen? How does a guy have all those accomplishments and then end up at a barista in Starbucks? It almost sounds like he did it backwards. You kind of start there when you're, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old or whatever. And then, you know, you go on to success. Maybe he did things a little differently. Well, Vin Baker had a lot of troubles. He, again, got caught in alcoholism, drugs, dependency, the whole thing. I mean, we hear these stories a lot. And addiction was a big part of his life. Long story short, he lost $100 million in that short span of a lifetime, 13 years. $100 million. I cry if I lose $100. How about $100 million? And what could you do with $100 million? Would that satisfy you for a lifetime? Or would you blow it in 13 years, I wonder? So this guy loses $100 million. As I say, which is a whole lot of Frappuccinos, my friends. Drink those for many lifetimes over. But it's interesting, his story that I wrote about. And, you know, I'm going to quote Vin Baker here. He says, these are his words. When you learn lessons in life, no matter what level you're at financially, the important part to realize is it could happen. I was an alcoholic. I lost a fortune. I had a great talent and lost it. Now, for the people outside looking in, they're like, wow, for me, I'm 43 and I have 4 kids, he says. I have to pick up the pieces. I'm a father. He actually is even a minister in his father's church, he says. I have to take the story and show that I can bounce back. If I use my notoriety in the right way, most people will appreciate that this guy is just trying to bounce back in his life. Now, these are his words, Vin Baker. Bottom line, folks, mistakes are inevitable. Doesn't matter whether you're an NBA player, gold medal Olympian, insurance salesman, or a construction manager, or whatever you do in life, mistakes come in all shapes and sizes. And as I say, I always say something, fail forward. Fail forward. Failure is the key to success. I really believe it is. And, you know, you've got to learn from each failure and try to get a little better. And there's a lot of factors in life, I find, at this point. I mean, timing, you know, other things beyond you play into this whole thing. I know. I've been on the front lines of this thing, and so I totally understand what this means, you know? But listen, the success factor equates to one's happiness and fulfillment. Vin Baker says right now he's happier than he's ever been. Now, how can a guy be that happy as a barista at Starbucks after losing $100 million, and yet, you know, he had it all at one point. Olympic gold medal, all-star games, celebrity status, money, cars, women, drugs, sex, rock and roll. Had it all. All right, so here's the deal. And this is the part where I call my, really, life lessons. I have a whole segment on Brink of Greatness, folks, life lessons. And this is a cool area of the site, actually. I love this. Because these are things I've been in corporate boardrooms all my life. And, you know, discover a lot of things, a lot of lessons we can share and help each other out with. And this is an area you can learn a lot from. But I call it my 90-10 rule. I want you to remember the 90-10 rule, okay? And what it is, in your lifetime, use the front window 90% of the time. Your front window. Use the rearview mirror only 10% of the time. Don't live in the past. I know a lot of people right now, good people, who actually have a reverse. They're 10-90. They have very little eye on what's going to happen tomorrow, and they live in the past all the time. They can never get over it. Now, Vin Baker had done that. He would have never succeeded any. He would be a mess. He'd be a disaster. Can you imagine? You lose $100 million, you have addiction to drugs, and you're an alcoholic, and you got kids and family. You know what happens next. I mean, guy, you become homeless. You become a wreck. You know... So if he wasn't able to play, so it really comes back to the character of this guy. It comes back to the character of all of us, really. But he used the 90-10 rule. He started looking to tomorrow, whatever that was going to mean. And he used his failures to brace himself up to look for what was going to happen tomorrow, but really understanding that there's a bigger future ahead for all of us. And for this guy, he understood that as well. So, listen, I think there's a lot to stories like this. And Vin Baker's, success and then drop and then picking himself up and coming back again, I think there's a lot to say about that, actually, and how we can all sort of, get better at it. I think Vin Baker's a prime example of that. You know, I mentioned Tao earlier, 96-year-old Tao, and, the yoga teacher, 96 years old, probably 97 by now, but what a success. And lady wakes up every day and says, it's going to be the best day of my life. Wow. If we could all say that to ourselves, no matter what, that this was going to be the best day of our life, we'd be so far ahead of the game, it isn't even close to funny. I mean, that's where it's at. Now, you remember when we started, I started with that piece about, It was that piece, Building the Perfect Day. It was a great piece on Psychology Today, actually. And the subhead to this is really, it makes you think, actually, because it says, hack your routine to make every hour count. I don't think many of us think in those terms about hacking our routine. But it really is, because, complacency is a disease. It's a human ailment. And you get too complacent in your life, and then you got a lot of other problems. Procrastination plays in, and you start judging other people, and, you got a whole host of ailments that play into this thing. But if you learn to hack your routine, kind of interesting. So we started off on this thing, and I want to bring you back. This is a cool article, actually. So we woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Remember I told you, you wake up at 6. You had a sex at 6:10, okay? Breakfast at 7 o'clock. You do the math there, but I don't need to tell you. So 7:45, you get outside, you touch the leaves, yeah? You send your emails at 8:45. And, they speak here about the science of sending emails. I want to give you a tip here a moment here. The best time to send them is between 6 in the morning and 10 a.m., they're saying. But don't send it between 10 and noon, because people don't read them very much between 10 and noon. And they're right. I've seen studies on exactly this. We are doing a lot of work between 10 and 12, so we're probably not reading emails a lot. So do them in the morning, and you have a better chance of somebody reading them. And that's really the key. But anyways, you send the emails, you have your coffee, you tackle your work, you take your break, you have your lunch. I stopped about there earlier in the segment. But then they say at 1 o'clock, take a nap. I don't know who can do that. Last cup of coffee at 2:15 if you have a problem with caffeine. If you're in the office, have a staff meeting or check in at 3. Have a snack at 4, it says. And then creative thinking at 4:30 is a good time for our creative thinking. Be social at 6, dinner at 7, and you're off from there. Take a hot bath by bed at 10:30. Interesting read on Psychology Today. Check it out. Anyways, there's a lot to this perfect day and perfect life, my friends. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to keep working on my perfect day. You work on yours. I'll see you back at brinkofgreatness.com. And don't forget our other site, malcolmoutloud.tv. Look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Take care. Have a great day. Remember to get involved, get loud.